हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनाभुनाक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Then the Nyaya Sutras, page 25. But how does one know that a relationship is invariable and unconditional? Vedantins reply that concomitance is established by the uncontracted experiences of the relationships between two things. But according to Nyaya, concomitance is established through the perception of classes, samanya lakshana, perception. Do you want to be samanya lakshana pratyaksha? Which has been discussed earlier in this chapter in the section on extraordinary perceptions. Actually, the Nyaya method of inference uses inductive reasoning. That is, it draws a particular conclusion on the grounds of a general and universally known truth. Universal truth is considered to fall within the range of vyapti. Right? Vyapti would be the, when you're dealing with the, what is it?
The relation between middle and major term.
Yeah, middle and major, that's invariable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Nyaya, there are three types of inductive analysis or generalization. The first is anvaya, or uniform agreement in presence. This type of inductive process arises from observing a relationship in which, if one constituent is present, then in every instance the other constituent is also present. For example, wherever there is smoke, there is fire. The second type of inductive analysis is the obverse of the first, and is called uniform agreement in absence, vyatireka. In this method, a negative universal relationship or invariable concomitance is observed. For example, wherever there is no fire, there is no smoke. The third kind of inductive process is a combination of the first and second methods. In this method, known as uniform agreement, in both presence and absence, anvaya vyatireka, or vyabhicharaha, or graha. Both constituents of a relationship are always found together. Neither is ever present without the other. From this it is induced that there must exist a natural relationship of invariable concomitance between them. So is that meaning in the third one, the uniform, that means the first one is the positive, the second is the negative. So what makes but it means that they can, there's the aspect of it only going one way, while in the uniform means both ways. Is that how it would be?
It's invariable concomitance that can go both ways. It's just the one, the negative can only go the one way as well. So if there's no fire, there's no smoke, but you can't say if there's no smoke, there's no fire.
Okay. But in either case, they both work in the concomitance that the invariable that applies. So what makes the uniform Because there's.
Yeah, this is my this is like the equivalent, Maharaj. The third one means it's the equivalent.
Means it would be both ways.
Yes.
Wherever there's fire, there's smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, that's why that example is not given.
Oh, okay.
Because
it
wouldn't be. Yeah. Okay. So both are always found together. Neither is ever present without the other.
You'll never find one without the
yes,
other.
Yes.
Okay.
So those are the ones which have an equivalent relation.
Do you have an example of such a thing?
Fire and heat, it was given.
Oh, okay, yeah, fire. Yeah, I was going to say the cat and that mouse. Or the roadrunner and the coyote. Yeah, you see, always. No? No? Or Amitabh Bachchan and the crowd. No, but then it doesn't go above it. Sometimes there's a crowd, there's not much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, exactly. These three methods of generalization demonstrate a systematic technique for inductive reasoning. So we see here is that he's pointing out this is inductive, because the Vedanta is actually deductive. And that you're giving a Rupaya concomitance is established by the uncontradicted experiences of the relationships between two things. But then that we can't know all those things. We can only go from you know, Shastra will give something, and then that then becomes established. But he says here is that logic, nyaya, it doesn't have to work that way. Because they'll start from where we are and then work. You know, and then there'll be some traditions developed from that. But that will be the advantage of, means if you're talking with devotees, then you can always give the evidence and the logic will always go back to the deductive aspect. But when you're dealing with those who don't necessarily accept the Veda, or have that faith, then logic can still work on them. Because we know the knowledge, we just find the example in that will give them an understanding, and then bring them forward to the Vedanta understanding. So that's why he sees that then, especially with Bhakti, maybe all the time, it means just anybody who doesn't have that appreciation, you use the logic to get them there. But you're presenting deductive knowledge logically. You're not presenting inductive logic. I mean, inductive knowledge logically. Yes.
You mentioned the last shloka, chapter shloka. Also, we are using the terms viable
today. In the chapter shloki.
Last verse.
The last one. Okay. Because you're supposed to see Krishna in everything.
Directly or indirectly.
Yeah. Means you directly see Krishna, or you indirectly, means through his energies or him directly, you're always trying to see Krishna. So that's that was the word anvaya. Okay. Yeah. So because we use this a lot, but we're using it in the context of that Krishna said this here in this verse. So in the next verse it seems to be saying something different, but why would it? It would be a continuation of the same conversation. Because if you take it by, kind of modern scholars and all that, or even these modern Vedic scholars, then they're going to be, each verse has a completely different meaning. It's not like it's one conversation. They quote them completely out of context with each other. While the Vedanta, then means the Vaishnava Vedanta, then the anvaya is there, is that you're going to see each one in context of the other. It's a natural progression. You're not going to get. So that will be the most important of it. And it seems that also someone the other day mentioned that they were looking at this 10 features of anvaya. Like that. So like that. I mean, as we've heard before, is that that's that continuity. So then What's that one that we say about on the conclusion? It also means.
Backed by Shastra.
Yeah, backed by Shastra, but also it has that connection.
Sangati.
Yeah, so you're showing Sangati, either, you know, between, you know, as we'll see in the Mimamsa. Is that the Sangati between the syllables, between the words, between the sentences, between the verses? You know, the verses and the chapter, the chapters in the book and the other 14 books, and all those 14 books with the transcendental knowledge. So you have all these different aspects of how you connect.
Krishna says in Bhagavatam that he's Vachya Vachaka. He's the words of the Vedas and he spoke.
The speaker of the Vedas. Yes, yes. Yeah. Because Krishna is always in the present, you can use the present tense. Now, if you're referring to, okay, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. But otherwise, you just refer to the present. Still valid. Okay. These three methods of generalization demonstrate a systematic technique for inductive reasoning. The most crucial concern, however, in any systematic inference was how to make certain that concomitance, the logical basis for the inference, is valid. Right? Because it's all based on that universal principle is valid. Right? It means between the major term and the middle term. That's valid. Because only if that's valid, then you can say that that major term and the middle term, I mean, and the minor term, have a connection like that. So that's the thing. If that can be established, then the whole syllogism will work. But if it's not, then that's where your weakness will lie. So that means then Gotama will go to great lengths to establish how that's done. Okay? It's not just because you felt like it; it's enough.
Well, it's an attempt to represent the reality in words. That's what logic is.
Yeah. But it's also that you're trying to make it means, depending on what you're doing, means that the technique can be used basically from what's perceived, and you're establishing something else like that, but the difficulty comes is that how do you establish the universality of it?
Because there is some bias.
Yeah, so it's only if it's coming from Shastra, that you can actually say it has that universal. Shastra says it's universal. You know it's universal. Because the other ones, you're working on the thing that everybody agrees. It's like, okay, you know, grains of sand are basically round. But we haven't looked at every grain of sand, but we've looked at enough that we can basically, everybody's satisfied they're basically round. You know? And so then... Then you can go on and do work with that. But actually, it hasn't technically been proven by the process of pratyaksha. You know? So it's just you kind of have to come to an agreement. It's like this piece of paper with this face on it's worth this much. That is, free from limiting conditions, upadis. Because upadi means you say it's a specific detail. So you have to take it into the generalized. So, that's the fun part. People who generalize more tend to think they're more logical. Though their effect that they want to get is very specific. You know, that's it. The process of ensuring that the vyaptis are free from all vitiating conditions. Vitiating? Vitiating?
Vitiating.
Vitiating. It's called upadinirasa. Upadinirasa.
Upadini.
Upa?
Upadini rasa.
Upadani rasa. So it means ni means without.
I think it's feminine.
But I'm saying the taste of it not having any upadis. Okay. One way of ensuring this is by the repeated observation of both constituents of a relationship under all possible circumstances to make certain that the relationship is in fact invariable. Another way is to employ hypothetical critical argument or tarka. But Nyaya places the greatest emphasis on samanya lakshana, the perception of classes, as the major means for ensuring the validity of vyapti.
Vitiated.
Yeah, because I've heard it said like that, but it's not spelled like that. But sometimes the T is a sh,
yeah,
like a
shin.
Yeah, T-I-O-N, it becomes shun.
Yeah.
Vitiated.
Yeah, what a weird language.
You'd think that they could get it together, that the letters would actually be well pronounced, right? Is there any other language in the world where the letters aren't consistent in how they're, aren't phonetic?
Most of the ones that come in common.
I mean, everything I know of is, but, you know, unless it's some, you know, big... Vishay.
English grammar works on one principle. English grammar works on one principle. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Just like this other word. Concomitant. You could say concomitant or concomitant. So I've heard it both ways, but from a British guy, I heard it concomitant. Because it comes together with concomitant. Instead of concomitant.
Concomitant. Yeah, generally the way you say it's like aluminum or aluminium.
Right. In that situation, you know, do not go with the Brits. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Aluminium. So many things happen that, like Canada, Canadian. Like America, American. So Canada, Canadian. Or Canadian, or if it's Canadian, then the place is Canadia.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
they got.
You see the person, then you can see the status, how he talks. If he puts those wrong, he's from the village.
Okay.
How they pronounce the ends of the words and how they pronounce all of A. If they put too much emphasis, then you know they're from this part. That part.
Oh, okay.
It's very easy to understand.
Okay.
Yeah, that's everywhere. Another, if you say always was instead of were, like was you going to the, instead of were you going, you'll say was you going. That means you're from a village.
If you say was you be going?
Yeah.
Then the village, it gets more into the hills then. Was you done be going to go?
They have jokes.
No, but people actually talk like that.
Yes,
absolutely.
They have jokes.
Oh, I see, there's jokes on how people talk. Okay, but they actually talk like that.
No, they do. In America, it's the same.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's the same. And funny thing, they don't understand the jokes about them.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, but that's how you say it.
It's out of their realm, so
yes,
I would say.
It's not funny for them at all.
No. It basically comes down to whether you're educated or not.
Right. Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, you don't need no education.
Yeah, no, that's definitely. There's been some very strong theories put together based on that. Documentaries like that. Okay. Classifications of inference. Okay, so that would be again. Okay. So now it's classifications of inference. Okay. And then where was that where we got these? Who gave those things? That's some, okay. That was where was this? Samanya. Where were those? That was also. Where was that? 22, then before that. Okay, yeah, here. Samanya. Extraordinary, alokika. Perceptions, perception of classes, samanya, and perception based on association, jnana. And intuitive. Oh, three kinds of. Okay. Samanya, perception of classes, perception based on association, jnana, and intuitive perception, yogaja. Okay. But he puts the most emphasis on samanya lakshana. Nyaya produces three general classification systems for inference. The first classification system is based on psychological grounds. The second is based on the nature of vyapti, or the universal relationship between the middle and major terms. The third is based on the logical construction of the inference. Okay. According to the first system of classification, there are two types of inference, svartha, meaning for oneself, and parartha, meaning for others. In svartha, the purpose of the inference is for one to gain correct knowledge by oneself and for oneself. In this kind of inference, the whole process of reasoning is internal. One employs systematic logical reasoning to protect oneself from confusion and doubt and to arrive at correct inferential knowledge. In parartha, on the other hand, inference is meant for others. Here someone is trying to prove the truth of his view. For instance, a man who is convinced of the existence of fire on the hill would use parartha when attempting to convince others of the fire's existence. The second classification system divides inference into three categories. Purvavat, Seshavat, and Samanyato Drishta. That's what we started. Yes. That's what we started off with.
That's what Gautama says.
Here, inference. Here, perception. Yeah. Three kinds. Purvavat. Okay. Purvavat, when the effect is inferred from its cause. Example, from the rising cloud, it is inferred that it will rain. Seshavat, when the cause is inferred from its effect, on perceiving the water of the river as different from what it was before, and further perceiving the fullness of the river and the swiftness of the current, it is inferred that there was rain. And samanyato drishta, the perception of the object at some place which was previously somewhere else, is due to its movement. Therefore, it is inferred that, although imperceptible, the sun has movement. Both Purvavat and Seshavat inferences display causal uniformity between the middle and major terms, while Samanyato Drishta inferences exhibit non-causal uniformity of the middle and major terms. Here the term cause refers to an invariable and unconditional antecedent of an effect. Goes to explain a word you don't know, and then he adds in another three words that you don't know. So you know he has a brain, right? Yes. That's the whole point of knowledge, is to become humble. So by reading this, we have to become humble. Because then we understand we don't know.
The whole paragraph is here, there, or age.
Yeah, yeah. The also. Here the term cause refers to an invariable and unconditional antecedent of an effect. An effect refers to an invariable and unconditional consequence of a cause. So an antecedent means what comes after a cause?
Yes. Antecedent, precedent.
So a precedent is what's coming before preceded the cause. Oh, okay, because they say it's a precedent, means it was a case before that happened. So therefore it's a precedent. But it's not necessarily used in the context of causality.
The present is the cause for the present decision.
So
the present is what happened 100 years ago. This basis will take this decision.
This one, okay.
Maharaj, that is the antecedent is only that what comes before.
Yeah. But then it says, or logically,
for,
yeah, so
PCS,
so it's before.
Antecedent
is also before.
Yes. Antecedent is also before.
That's what
he said. So precedent is also before,
yeah.
And an antecedent is before. So which one's earlier, the precedent or the antecedent?
The antecedent is just before something.
Oh, right.
That's just before.
Right.
So the precedent is just farther.
Generally.
Antecedent is anything that existed before or preceded another. Precedent, on the other hand, is a previous occurrence or action that acts as a model or guidance.
Okay, so when you see the antecedent with the cause of a previous time, that's the precedent. Okay. Otherwise, the antecedent. And then what is the? And then there's the effect. So yes. Antecedent, cause, and then effect. So the antecedent is elements of the cause. It's because it's not the cause of the cause. It's just elements that therefore then are applied in a causal way, and then you get a post-causal effect. I guess if you read these things long enough, then you start.
Wouldn't that just be the effect, the post-causal effect?
Yes, it would be.
Maybe we can understand this in context.
Or a post-causal situation, which then becomes the antecedent of the next cause. Wow.
You would think it would be something.
The amazing thing is there means that there are those who are trained so nicely they can actually discuss all these things as a normal conversation. You know, so they don't have to look it up in the book. They can just talk these things, and as soon as you say, they know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. When an unperceived effect is inferred from a perceived cause, that inference is deemed a purvavat inference. For example, it will rain because there are dark, heavy clouds in the sky. So you're not seeing the rain, but you're seeing the clouds. So then you're saying, therefore, it will rain.
This is taken as a fact or a fact in the future, because for example there were certainly clouds yesterday and didn't rain. So it means our perception was wrong or our inference was wrong.
Well, I mean, if you're perceiving that those clouds are rain clouds, then that may be wrong. But the whole point is your inference wasn't strong enough. So therefore, it didn't work out. So that's why it was also the weakness of inference being used as authority. Because it sees that unless it's based on enough aspects of it, or the majority of the aspects, it doesn't have the point of making mistakes, you know, due to imperfect senses, illusion, making mistakes than cheating. So you'll sometimes see someone just because they've said something and it's obvious it's wrong, everybody knows it's wrong, they know it's wrong, but because of their ego, they will try to establish it from a different angle how it's right, how they were right, rather than just going, oh yeah, I guess I made a mistake.
So that's the first one. atonement says for yourself, for oneself, or for others? What's the...
Well, for yourself, then you're analyzing for yourself, so you only have to go through as much, how you say, rigmarole. You only have to go through as much a process as you need, because you have, you'll follow the veins of your faith. But when you're presenting for others, you have to then present it to include their lack of understanding or faith in that area. So that's why then just a natural presentation would, you just take the abhyamas and just present it as Gautama gives it straight, you know, as the principles, and it works. You're going to go through there. But when people have doubts and misgivings, then you have to bring in all those subsections where then you have to include their doubt, how to address their doubt, and this and that. But if you have more experience, you might already be addressing those things in your process. Yeah, well, we'll do this, but then, you know, these guys will say that, and then how you're going to deal, and then you find what works for you. But you only have to go through those circles that you're convinced. Right? But at the same time, the validity is only as good as your arguments are. Your evidence is, because if your evidence is wrong, then even you've gone through it and come to a conclusion for yourself, it may be wrong, and then you don't really get the actual benefit that you were expecting. You know, same as if you're presenting for others, if your evidence is wrong. You know, in other words, your universality of the major and middle term are wrong. You know, you can't establish that. Means it's okay, where there's fire, there's smoke, but what if you haven't established that it's smoke? So there's something wrong in it, and so then it'll come out. Because it's that, we're taking that rain comes from clouds, so wherever there's clouds, there's rain. But it only goes, no, wherever there's rain clouds, there'll be rain. Right? So the thing is that all clouds don't produce rain. Like what's that, the Cirrus Nimbus? No, the Cirrus, not the black, no. Not that one. The cloud, the super thin, crispy ones, they never rain.
Stratus.
Oh, those are the stratus. All stuff that you had to learn in first, fifth grade.
Right?
Yeah, it's all those things.
Yeah, I think the stratus are the thin ones that are sort of like, you know,
yeah, they don't rain. I think it's only the cumulonimbus,
yeah,
or whatever.
The white ones.
Yeah, those, if they're black, then they can rain. So in that way, black clouds matter.
Yeah. So even the other example of, you know, if the river is higher and it's running faster, so probably it rained, but it also could have been the dam that was running.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not always perfect, but if it's in support of a statement that Shastra has given and already has authority, then we can use it to support it. Is that
yes, means, yeah, means where you are using these because it creates drishtanta. In other words, there's already a conclusion that you're trying to establish.
Right.
Then you're going through this process for the benefit of others, or for yourself also, as it mentions. But you're still, it's basing on Shastra, so you know it's correct. It's just you have to find the right avenue to take. But here what Gautama is given is that you can find out truth by this process. But you can only find out truth below bhakti. You can't find out anything above. It means liberation means a temporary form of liberation. You can only find out up to there. That's suyuja. You can't go what's beyond. That liberation beyond the Lord, the living entities, the relationship, the spiritual world, you can't get any of that through logic. So that's why, for us, we're using it in a deductive way. We're trying, and when it says it's inductive knowledge, means we're using it to connect to the person who thinks inductively from their position, but we're giving them and presenting deductive knowledge. So we don't use this as inductive knowledge in that form. That will be the problem that will come up with this rhetoric and other things where I say everything's relative, because it is, if by the inductive method. but by the deductive, it's not. There's absolute. And so, and everything coming from Krishna, therefore everything has its absolute position when you see it in context of the absolute. But if you don't see it in that way, it will be relative, because then it's everyone's opinion is as good as anybody else's, because that's the whole point. Don't think your opinion's better just because it's yours. You know, it's all relative. But then they don't bring it. But the point is your opinions, everybody's opinions are relative to each other, but in respect of the absolute, there's no question of anything being relative. So that's not brought out. And so then you're dealing with some very, very dangerous things that look like you're intelligent when actually you're a fool. Yes.
So this context, that very example given, is actually quoted by the Buddhists to counter the Nyaya philosophy, saying that it's not always that when the river is full, that means it rains, because it could be the dam has broken or something like that. Then Gautama counters it by saying that it's not always when like that, but when you see when the river is full, along with there is a foam, there are small trees going and everything like that, there is more to it. Mm-hmm. That means it has, like, you know, you can infer it rain. So you give for past, future and the present. For the future, the example which it was given is when you see the ants carrying their eggs and moving, then you can infer it will rain.
Mm.
So then they say that the Buddhists say that it could be that their place is destroyed by some other means, that's why they are moving. So Gautama says that it's not just you see one place ants, when you see it everywhere, then you can infer. And another, the third one, he said, when you see a peacock sound crying, then you can infer that it's a peacock, but it could be a man imitating a peacock. Then
it
Gautama,
could be, it could just be a very very large cat.
Then he says, then that's the problem of us. We cannot distinguish, but the serpents can distinguish. So already that's why in the beginning itself it defines.
So when that sound comes and the serpents look around, then you know it must be
the serpents. So he said that, so the, it should be non-erroneous. He gives the conditions under which these are valid. So the whole point of the Nyaya Shastra is to see all these things in the context and bring us to a higher elevation.
Well, so the high elevation is liberation.
Liberation.
But that's the point. That's as far as it can take you.
Yes, yes.
Just like yoga can only take you up to understanding Parama. It can't take you to Parama. Mm-hmm.
So already it's a, within itself, it's already defined that invariable concomitance between the middle and major term, the Vyapti, should be already established one from Shabda or something which is which can't be questioned. It's already said that you are.
So it goes back to Shastra again.
Yes. So, and also then the minor and middle term, the relation between them is the pratyaksha which you have seen. That also should be non-erroneous. If this is error, this has an error, that has an error, he doesn't take responsibility for your logic being fallacy. So the whole point is we are using the inference for knowing the unknown from what is known.
Yes.
And at the same time, it's specifically aimed at targeting and destroying completely the Buddhist understanding. The whole skepticism comes actually from Buddhism. And they are the ones who says there is nothing absolute. First of all, nothing
exists. So they are the ultimate skeptics.
Yeah, they are the ultimate. So whole endeavor of Gautama is to destroy that skepticism.
So then basically you have Shangala on one side and you have Buddhists at the other side. But the amazing thing is they're both in the same in a cab. So in other words, Buddhists are the ones that didn't find the Shangri-La. Okay, very good. Yeah? Make sense? Oh, okay. You're just working on the principle that it's about Krishna's purifying. Taking the essence. Yes.
So if it's going the right direction, first there's the authorized state from Shastra, and then our logic, and then our direct perception is in line with that, then it works.
Yeah.
But when we try to take it the other way, for example, when Lord Chaitanya was in Vrindavan, all the locals were seeing what they thought was Krishna dancing on Kaliya serpents.
Yes.
And so the story kept going around night after night, but then finally they realized. So they were using their perception, and then they were dovetailing it into something that they know. This also takes place in the internet, Krishna dances. So they're connecting it with Shastra, but they were wrong because it was a fisherman who had a lantern, and then when he was pulling in the fish, it looked like, you know, the scales on the colors. So what's the position there? They're using their direct perception in line with the Shastra, but since it's going the opposite way, it's not working.
Yeah, I mean, the remembrance of Krishna will get benefit there, but it actually being facts on that alone. Then if they, you know, start a whole religion.
So right, so they don't start worshipping fishermen once they find out it was actually a fisherman because they think he's now not different from them.
Yeah.
But so the benefits there, meaning they understood the connection, so that's good.
Yeah, just the remembrance. I get benefits from that. Okay. We just have to see how far it goes.
Backwards.
Yeah, because it's always means you might start from that position because you take your position and try to see how that connects to Shastra. And you're going to be looking at it, what's good for you. And so those parts that are good for you, which are those you can connect to Shastra. And eventually then you have to start to see, is that what the Shastra is saying? That that's the authority. Then you try to look at it the other way. You know what I'm saying? Is that, okay, which aspects that I'm doing are useful and which are not? Because in the beginning, wherever you are, that will be useful. But as time goes, you'll start to see certain things are less useful than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like you have to get to the kitchen for dinner because, you know, your mom said, but, you know, you have to pick that particular route that's going to be the best to get you there because the floor is lava.
That's right.
You know? So it'll take you all over and you'll get there 10 minutes late, like that. But if you look at it from, your mother said to go there from that, and that's just there, then you just walk there. You don't worry about it for a while.
Lovely. Cool. So,
yeah. Just like that. Is that making sense?
I never played that game.
I just heard about it more recently.
In the example which Michelle was mentioning about that, people seeing on the banks, the weakness is in the vyapti, that Krishna dances, you know, on the banks of Yamuna and Kaliya. The weakness there is that who can perceive it? It's not ordinarily perceived, but they automatically...
But they automatically made...
the connection that the vyapti always exists at all times, but there is a special qualification required to view it. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out. That it's not cheap, anybody cannot view it. So the vyapti, which they thought it is not universal. It's not, doesn't, anybody cannot see it. So that's why the logic failed. There are one faith.
Yeah, well, that's nice. So not everybody can see that. Yeah. Okay. So, unperceived effect is inferred from a perceived cause. That inference is deemed a purvavat inference. For example, it will rain because there are dark, heavy clouds in the sky. And whenever there are dark, heavy clouds, it rains. Here, the future rain effect is inferred from the appearance of dark, heavy clouds, cause. Seshavat is the reverse type of reasoning, in which an unperceived cause is inferred from a perceived effect. For instance, it has rained recently because there is a swift muddy current in the river, and whenever there is a swift muddy current in the river, it has recently rained. Here we infer the cause, the past rain, from the effect, the swift muddy current. So one is on the effect, one is on the cause.
Yeah, so one they see the dark clouds, so they know it's going to rain, and the other one, they see the high rivers, they know it already has rain.
Already has rain. So one you're seeing the effect, one you're seeing the cause. So then the purvavat means when you see the cause but not the effect. And the seshavat means you see the effect but not the cause. That's more. I mean, that just makes it, it connects things more rather than a line of words.
Yeah. It's like when you read the user agreement, it's in lawyer talk, and then you have somebody tell you what it means.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the lawyer talk.
You have
like
that.
You could figure it out.
It just means that it doesn't matter what you do or say, you can't sue them.
Right.
And it will be used against you.
Yeah, and it will be used against you.
Yeah.
Even if you say nothing.
You
happen to be in the same room as the phone, therefore. Okay. And finally, in Samanya Dotrishta, the third type of inference in this system of classification, the invariable concomitance between the middle term and the major term does not depend on a causal uniformity. One term is not inferred from the other because they are uniformly related. In this kind of reasoning, conclusions are based on direct experience and on generally known truths. An example of this sort of inference is the movement of the moon, which is inferred on the basis of its changing position in the sky, although the movement of the moon is not perceived directly by the senses. The last general classification system is based on the nature of induction, by which one obtains the knowledge of the invariable concomitance between the middle and major terms of an inference. This system distinguishes among the three types of inference. In the first, kevalan vayi, the middle term is only positively related to the major term. For example, all knowable objects are nameable. In the second, kevala vyatireka, the middle term is only negatively related to the major term. For example, whoever is dead has no pulse. Okay. This person has a pulse, therefore he is not dead. In the last category, anvayatireki, the middle term is both positively and negatively related to, means and negatively related to the major term. This is the joint method of both anvaya and vyatireka. For example, all smoky objects are on fire. The hill is smoky. Therefore, the hill is on fire. no non-fiery object is smoky. The hill is smoky, therefore the hill is on fire.
So I'm using both.
From both sides?
That in the middle term has connection to both, whereas the other two.
So does that mean then, like, when all the Boy Scouts go to, you know, Summit Lake Park, and then, yeah, and then he gives a very moving and dramatic explanation of how to deal, then he would be on fire. Because it says all smoky things, there has to be fire. So that would be the only way that...
They should make him stop, drop, and roll. Because that's part of his moving presentation.
Really? He does that?
Yeah, if you catch on fire, then you're meant to stop, drop, and roll.
Oh, I thought you were making a panda reference.
Oh, no.
Because they always roll. If they're going down hills, they roll. Why walk when you can roll?
So out of the three kinds of methods, then Gautama uses only the second one.
The second one, which is?
Puravat, Seshavat, and Samana Udrishta.
So he uses the Seshavat?
No. There are three different ways how you can classify them.
Okay.
So he uses the second classification. I think the first and third.
Oh, okay.
The other guys.
Oh, okay. So there's Puravat, Seshavat, and
Samana.
Samanya.
Samanya Todrishta.
Samanya Todrishta.
You could be Samanya Bhat.
Yeah. So he uses that, and the other two he doesn't use.
The other two might be written by somebody else.
Okay. Okay. The fallacies of inference in. Okay, that's another fallacies.
This is actually Hetva Vasana.
Hetva, this is the third one.
This is the ninth.
Oh, these
the 13th one.
Of the Padarthas.
Of the Padarthas, this is the 13th one. This is on its own. But maybe in the context of it works.
Okay. Fallacies of inference. In the Nyaya system, fallacies of inference are called Hetva Bhasha. This term literally means a reason, hetu, that appears to be valid, but is not really so.
So sometimes it works the other way, the U will be a V, and then sometimes the V will go to U. So here it's hetu abhasa, hetu abhasa.
I think it's just whether and how they're putting the sun together. It's probably they can do it in a few ways.
Okay.
Yeah, because sometimes you see it, depending on the grammar, you'll see nada simha or nada simha. You know. So it just depends upon where it sits in the. The negative. Yeah, I would think it just means whatever is the ways of thinking. And so in other words, through the aspect of the inference, you try to see Krishna in everything. Because he's already mentioned in the second one, is anything you value, if you don't see a connection with him, then it's illusion. Right? Because he is qualities. It means everything's situated in Brahman. Right? Brahman is, it means it's all situated in him by situated in his Brahman, whatever manifestation. Brahman is the effulgence of his qualities. So that means everything that's based in Brahman is based on those qualities that are there in that are then manifest from that Brahman. That means that they're coming from Krishna's qualities. So any quality that you appreciate, because you only appreciate qualities in something, you don't appreciate non-qualities. You know, does that make sense? You know, something looks nice or smells nice, or, you know, various adjectives that you add to things, or adverbs, or whatever it is that you're adding. So then all those things, then you're going to see those, that's what makes the thing nice. It makes it good. But that those qualities all come from Krishna. So to see anything that, and you'll only see those things that you value. So those things you value, you'll notice the qualities. Your senses will pick those up, because your senses are picking up everything. Right? You know, it's like that cycle that just went by. It just beat that funny little sharp horns, you know, so you understand that it must be a scooter. Right? So then, you know, that one. You know, so then it's going by. And so then, but there are some, either that or you could say, oh. So then you would not notice that, right? Because it's not important for the value of hearing this conversation. Does that make sense? So many things are there, but all that's dropped out because of your value. And so you're going to perceive things that you have a value for. And if you don't understand that those things that you're perceiving that have a value are in relation to Krishna, then what you're seeing is illusion. It exists, but you're an illusion. It's there, but how you're seeing it is an illusion. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, Charlie Chaplin actually was there, but the other prospector who was there looking at him, because he was so hungry, he thought he was a chicken. But he wasn't a chicken. You know, he was Charlie Chaplin. Right? Now, if you want to say, well, maybe the hobo happens to be a bit cowardly, then from that aspect you could say he's a chicken, but you couldn't say he's an edible chicken. So he existed, but what he saw was an illusion. So that's the thing, in the material world, people see the material world as real. And so what they're seeing, the actual, how you say, facts of the matter are real, but they see it as something to enjoy when it's not. They can't enjoy it. Right? So therefore, that takes it back to then, is that everything that you're seeing, so in other words, it's already based on that second premise, one, he's everything. To whatever you value, out of that unlimited everything, that section that you see, then you have to see that both from the positive and the negative, the direct and indirect, and how it connects to Krishna. Does that make sense? So even you see the negative, you can take it back to Krishna. You know, this place is not clean. But the point is it should be clean, because cleanliness is Krishna. And so you want to bring it up to a standard in connection with Krishna, it should be clean. Or it's clean, therefore it's so nice. That's because Krishna is the Supreme Pure. Therefore anything clean or pure is attractive. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.